Welcome to the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester, and thank you so much for letting me in your ear once again. Today's episode of the Jazz Treasury is West Coast Jazz, the Early Years. Just to let you know, a lot of the information I get for these episodes, for the Jazz Treasury podcast, it comes from various sources, but the bulk of it comes from a periodical that was put out back in the late 1990s called Jazz Greats, and it was published by the Marshall Cavendish Foundation. But I also get information from the internet and from books that I've read and from albums that I've been listening to. I've been listening and enjoying jazz for over 40 years. Being born and raised around New York City, I was fortunate enough to be able to hear some of the jazz greats. And I really appreciate you listening and having the opportunity to share a little bit of jazz history with you. That first track you heard was Lionel Hampton. And specifically, it was Lionel Hampton and his orchestra doing Mingus Fingers, recorded in 1947 in Los Angeles. And that band featured Wendell Cully, Duke Garrett, Walter Williams, and Teddy Buckner, Leo Shepard on trumpet, James Robinson, Britt Woodman, James Wormick, Andrew Penn on trombone, Jack Kelso on clarinet, Bobby Plater, Ben Kennard on alto, Morris Lane, John Sparrow on tenor, Charlie Foulkes on baritone sax, Lionel Hampton playing the vibraphone, Milt Buckner on piano, Billy Mackerel on guitar, and Joe Comfort, and Charles Mingus, two bassists here, Joe Comfort and Charles Mingus on bass, Early Walker on drums, recorded on November 10th, 1947 in Los Angeles. So, early West Coast jazz. From being a remote backwater in the early years, Southern California grew to become a hotbed of jazz activity in the 1940s. In the clubs of Los Angeles and the recording studios of Hollywood and Culver City, a new generation of musicians, such as Sonny Criss, were caught up in the exhilaration of bebop. Reputations were made at the all-night sessions along Central Avenue. The first jazz record ever made by a black band was recorded and released in Los Angeles. The year was 1922, and the band was Spike's Seven Pods of Pepper, also known as Ori's Sunshine Orchestra, led by New Orleans trombonist Kid Ory. In those days, the West Coast still had something of a frontier atmosphere. It was sparsely settled and several days away by train from the civilization of the East. The Los Angeles suburb of Hollywood, seen in the background of many silent films, looks a ramshackle, thrown-together place, with its wooden buildings and dusty, unpaved streets. The Los Angeles region was growing steadily, though, and beginning to attract entertainers from far and wide. Jelly Roll Morton, for example, arrived with a minstrel show in 1917 and stayed for 5 years. About 400 miles to the north, San Francisco boasted a red light district known as the Barbary Coast, similar to New Orleans' Storyville. It was in the dives and dance halls of the Barbary Coast that a dance called the Texas Tummy evolved, the first in a long line of dance crazes associated with jazz. Let's listen to another early West Coast jazz musician, Stan Kenton. If you haven't heard Stan Kenton, you need to do a little more research and listen and find a few more of his albums. Fabulous musician. This track we'll be listening to is Stan Kenton and his orchestra, Artistry in Rhythm. In fact, I think that was the name of an album he put out, Artistry in Rhythm, recorded in Hollywood, 1943. And this features Ray Borden, John Carroll, and Buddy Childers, Carl George, and Dick Morse on trumpets, Harry Forbes, and George Fay, Bart Varsolona on trombones, Eddie Myers and Art Pepper here on alto, Red Doris and Maury Beesons on tenor sax, Bob Gioga on baritone sax, Stan Kenton plays the piano, Bob Ahern on guitar, Clyde Singleton on bass, and Joe Vernon on drums. Let's listen to Stan Kenton and his orchestra, Artistry in Rhythm, on the Jazz Treasury. Stan Kenton and his orchestra, Artistry in Rhythm, 1943 in Hollywood. The first recording in Kenton's long association with Capitol Records, this is an early example of his progressive jazz. The tempo changes and out-of-tempo interludes make it quite clear that this was never intended to be dance music. In fact, it owes a great deal to the dramatic underscoring used in Hollywood films of the period. Now, Stan Kenton had one big band and orchestra. It seemed immune from the disasters of the late 1940s. First formed as a straightforward swing dance band in California in 1941, it mutated within a few years into something quite new, a jazz concert orchestra. Kenton cultivated an era of experimentalism and the avant-garde, using dissonance and other modernistic effects, and called the result progressive jazz. His band contained a number of fine young players, including alto saxophonist, and we heard him, Art Pepper, and drummer Shelly Mann, and was extremely popular on college campuses, rather like progressive rock 25 years later. When World War II came, troops from all over the USA passed through Los Angeles and San Diego on their way to fight the Japanese. They saw a land of space and sunshine and vowed that if they got out of this thing alive, this was where they would settle. And they did. In the post-war years, the population of Southern California exploded, and with it, the entertainment industry. Art Pepper once said, "At the Club Alabama, everywhere you looked, you saw teeth, people laughing, and everybody was decked out. It was a sea of opulence, big hats, and white fluffy hair." Like Harlem and the South Side of Chicago, before it, Black Los Angeles became the home of a vibrant and flourishing jazz scene during the war and a few years afterwards. Tiny basement and back room clubs such as Jack's Basket, Club Alabama, Lovejoy's, Downbeat, Last Word, or the Turban Lounge came and went, changing names frequently. Many of them were bottle clubs where patrons bought their own liquor and were provided with glasses and ice. Visiting musicians flocked to the clubs where musical reputations were made. Dexter Gordon, born in Los Angeles, and Wardell Gray from Oklahoma City by way of Detroit. And we'll hear more about Wardell Gray, hear a track from him in a little bit. But they became Central Avenue heroes with their tenor saxophone duels. All right, let's move on to another track. Let's listen to Wardell Gray right now, matter of fact. Unfortunately, he died very young. Let's listen to Wardell Gray's quartet doing Dell's Bells. And this has Wardell Gray on tenor, Dodo Marmarosa on piano, Red Callender on bass, and Doc West on drums. Let's listen to Wardell Gray Quartet doing Dell's Bells. Los Angeles, 1946.
You're listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Wardell Gray and his quartet, Dell's Bells. This is the greatest tenor saxophonist of the bebop era at his crackling best. No one else came anywhere near his bright tone and knife-edged articulation. He had the ability to spin and improvise lines so coherent that could have been written out in advance. But it wasn't. We just listened to it. The superb unison playing of Marmorosa's assertive yet fitting accompaniment. These two were made for each other, and it's a pity they recorded so little together. Tenor saxophonist Zoot Sims was one of the musicians that came to California. There was one place every Tuesday night in Chinatown, he fondly recalled, years later. This was a steady gig. We didn't get paid, but we'd get a big meal, and nobody bugged us either. We just played and jammed. Another steady gig to be found was Pontrelli's Ballroom, a Mexican dance hall in East L.A. We'd play their music, which we didn't mind doing, then we'd slip in our own music, and they didn't mind it, so it worked out just fine. Now, the band at Pontrelli's had an odd lineup of trumpet, four tenor saxes, and rhythm. The saxophonists were Zoot Sims, Stan Getz, Herbie Steward, and Jimmy Grieve, and they had devised a tight, close harmony style to accommodate this curious combination. In the spring of 1947, Woody Herman heard the Pontrelli's band, fell for the sound, and hired Sims, Getz, and Steward on the spot. Well, I just mentioned Woody Herman, so let's listen to Woody Herman. He was part of the West Coast early days of jazz. We'll listen to Woody Herman and his orchestra doing Four Brothers. This is Ernie Royal and Bernie Glow, Stan Fishlison and Shorty Rogers, Irving Markowitz on trumpets, Earl Swope, Ollie Wilson and Bob Swift on trombone, Woody Herman on clarinet, Herbie Steward, Zoot Sims and Stan Getz on tenor, Serge Chaloff on baritone sax, Fred Otis on piano, Gene Sargent on guitar, Walt Yoder on bass, and Don LeMond on drums. This is Los Angeles again, 1947, and if you're new to jazz, check out Zoot Sims and Stan Getz. All right. Let's go ahead. Woody Herman and his orchestra, Four Brothers, on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. All right, that was Woody Herman and his orchestra, Four Brothers, Los Angeles, 1947. One of the undisputed all-time classics of big band jazz. That song is a showcase for the youthful talents of tenor saxophonists Zoot Sims, Stan Getz, and Herbie Stewart, and the baritone of Serge Cello. The blend of tones is perfect, the coordination faultless. Their styles are so alike, and they really do sound like brothers as they weave in and out of the full orchestra. Many years later, Manhattan Transfer recorded a vocal version with words by John Hendricks. And as you're investigating the jazz world, a few tracks you should look for, or albums you should look for, let's say some recommended listening, would be Wardell Gray with Earl Garner, Blue Lou, 1947, Jerry Mulligan, Walkin' Shoes, 1953, Clifford Brown, Joy Spring, 1954, and Art Pepper, Move, 1959. All right, that's it for this episode of The Jazz Treasury with Rich Sylvester. Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to check out our Facebook page. Give us a like. Go to iTunes and check out. We have over 40 episodes back there to learn more about the history of jazz. And give us a review and give us a rate. And spread this music of jazz around the world. Thank you so much for listening. Next time on The Jazz Treasury, we look at Muggsy Spanier, his life and music. Thanks for listening. Until next time, enjoy the jazz.